could sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's Crime Does Not Pay with Death on the Doorstep. But first, on the lighter side, it's Jack Benny. The Jack Benny program spanned 23 years with great success all the way. Later on, Benny's own program, premiering on NBC Blue in May of 1932, became a solid hit. And by 1933, his program was picked up by Chevrolet for a 10 p.m. Sunday night time slot on NBC. In 1949, CBS, which began with the Benny Show clear back in the early 1930s, scored the greatest coup in broadcasting, luring Benny away from NBC with a deal involving more than $2 million. On CBS, Benny continued his 7 p.m. Sunday night format until May of 1955, his last live broadcast on radio. His program continued in reruns until 1958. By then, of course, he'd made the switch to television. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear, to February of 1942. And from the Presidio in San Francisco, it's Jack Benny. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The Jell-O program, brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Puddings. Coming to you from the Presidio in San Francisco, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with The Caissons Go Rolling Along. The Caissons Go Rolling Along, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, inasmuch as we are broadcasting from the U.S. Army Post at the Presidio in San Francisco, and this being the birthday of George Washington, it is only fitting that we bring you a man who fought heroically for that great general at Valley Forge, Jack Benny!
Thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, that was the most ridiculous introduction I ever heard. Imagine saying that I fought at Valley Forge. Why, it's absurd.
But Jack, you told me to mention your war record.
I meant the World War. The Battle of Valley Forge took place over 160 years ago. My goodness, that would make me older than Fred Allen. Much.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Fred Allen is younger than you are, and you know it.
What did you say, big boy? What did you say?
I said Fred Allen is younger than you are.
That's a military secret, and I'm going to tell the colonel on you. You heard him, fellas. Alan younger than me. I'd like to have muscles as hard as his arteries. Anyway, Don, it's nice being up here in Frisco, as they don't say, isn't it, huh?
Ah, yes, Jack, it certainly is.
And by the way, Don, as long as I'm paying everybody's expenses on this trip, may I inquire where you're stopping?
Oh, the little woman and I have a lovely suite at the Fairmont Hotel.
A suite, eh? That's several rooms, isn't it?
Yes. You see, Jack, I'm a pretty big man, and when I take my belt off at night, I spread out.
I don't care if you overflow like a volcano, get into one room. You don't need a suite.
But, Jack, Peggy and I have a lot of friends here in town, and we wanted a place where we could serve tea in the afternoon.
Oh, tea, eh? Well, from now on, brother, your friends can lift their Liptons in the lobby. Get into one room. All I say is what's good enough for me is good enough for my cat.
Perhaps you're right. By the way, Jack, where are you stopping?
Who, me? Oh, Dennis and I have a beautiful room at Ye Ocean Spray Auto Corps. In Alameda. It's a lovely place. It's run by a retired ferry boat captain.
Well!
In fact, that's what it is, an old ferry boat. We're living in what was formerly the poop deck. Of course, it's been redecorated, you know.
Well, that sounds quite novel. Have you a private bath?
What was that, Don?
I said, have you a private bath?
Well, there's a bolt on the door, if that's what you mean. You must come over sometime, Don.
Ye Ocean Spray Auto Court. Is that right on the ocean front?
No, it's not exactly on the ocean. It's very nice, though.
Well, can you see the ocean?
No, you can't actually see it, Don. But when the west wind is blowing over those mud flats, you just know it's there. And if the breeze is, well, if it isn't Miss Livingston, say hello to the soldiers, Mary.
Hiya, boys. Let's hear some noise.
You asked for it, and you got it. I can't understand it, Mary, but every time we entertain the soldiers, you get a much bigger reception than I do. Why is that?
I guess my legs are prettier than yours, huh, cutie?
Oh, I don't know about that, young lady. Now, I'll leave it to
any... Oh, roll down your pants. Who cares?
Well, you started it. By the way, Mary, as long as you're here, I want to settle something right now in front of Don Wilson and all the fellas here. Who is older, Fred Allen or me?
I don't see any insurance men chasing either one of you.
I can still get fire and theft, Smarty. And anyhow, just because I have a few gray hairs doesn't mean I'm an old dodo.
Doesn't mean you're cutting teeth either.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mary, because it so happens that I have a brand new tooth coming in. So there.
Where's it coming in from? Sears and Roebuck?
No, it's not coming in from Sears and Roebuck. They don't even handle them.
Oh, you checked on it, eh? Oh, God.
And let me tell you something else. The next one that mentions Fred Allen has to pay his own expenses in San Francisco. By the way, Mary, where are you stopping?
Oh, I have a lovely suite at the Sir Francis Drake.
Listen, Mary, you could very well have taken one room instead of two.
I've got three.
Yikes! What do you need three rooms for?
Well, I've got a lot of friends in town, and I have to have a place where I can serve tea in the afternoon.
Tea. Everybody giving tea parties. Funny thing, I'm never invited.
Jack, how can we reach you?
Yeah, you haven't even got a telephone on that broken-down ferry boat.
You could wig-wag, sister. You could wig-wag.
You got the wig. How could we wag it?
I mean with flag. You may laugh at Ye Ocean Spray Auto Court, Mary, but it's lovely there, isn't it, Dennis? I said it's lovely there, isn't it, Dennis?
Do you mind if I take a bow first, Mr. Benny?
No, go right ahead.
Yes, lovely there.
What? Oh, you mean the auto court. Yes, it is. What a kid.
Well, Dennis, this is your first trip to San Francisco, isn't it? I suppose you've been sightseeing and everything.
I'll say. I went to Seal Rocks in Chinatown and Twin Peaks in Chinatown and Flyshacker Zoo in Chinatown and...
What do you keep going back to Chinatown for?
I left my hat there someplace.
Oh. Well, I hope you find it.
Me too. Am I sick of chop suey?
Dennis, you don't have to eat every time you go there.
What else did you do, Dennis?
Well, now, let's see. Oh, yes, last night I went over to Treasure Island to see the World's Fair.
The World's Fair?
Save your money, brother. It ain't much.
Dennis, there isn't any World's Fair. It's been closed for 2 years.
Gee, I could swear I saw a fan dancer.
A fan dancer. You know, kid, I'd give $1,000 for your imagination.
At your age, it's a bargain.
Oh, sure. Well, Dennis, now that you're here, I think the boys would like to have you do a song. What's it going to be?
I'm
going to
sing a brand new number called Private Buckaroo.
Good. Let's have it, kid. Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
On behalf of the officers and the men of the Presidio, I would like to present you with this regulation Army uniform.
Say, thanks. But it's awfully big for me. It's so large.
Well, we thought you might want a place where you could serve tea in the afternoon.
Get a load of his head, fella. There's a GI haircut if I ever saw it. GI means government issue, folks. Sing, Dennis.
A lonesome cowboy in the West, he was known as Slim. Now in the Army, they've a new name for him. Private Buckaroo, way out on a range that he's a stranger to. Dreams he hears a cattle lowing, but it's just a bugle blowing. Blue Private Buckaroo. There in Company Q, away from corrals and all the pals he knew, won't be having any handin', this year's ropin', this year's brandin', Blue Private Buckaroo. Each night beneath the evening star, he strums on his old guitar, till it's get along, buckaroo, you're in the Army. Private Buckaroo, that yippee I laugh, he may sound sad and but there's nothing he's afraid of. Got the stuff a cowboy's made of. Blue Private Buckaroo. So saddle up, lad. There's a roundup over there. Get your lariat ready. You've some two-legged doggies to snare. The day that you're returning,
Private Buckaroo, sung for the first time on the air by Dennis Day. Swell, Dennis. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Say, Mr. Benny.
What is it, kid?
We sure had a lot of excitement at the Streets of Paris Cafe the other night, didn't we?
Yes, yes. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
But why did they throw you out? You didn't do anything.
Forget it, kid. Forget it. And now, ladies and
gentlemen... Wait a minute. I want to know what happened at the Streets of Paris the other night.
Oh, there was a little argument, that's all. Dennis and I were out for an evening of fun, so we walked into this cafe with a couple of cute girls.
Yeah, we followed them for miles.
We caught up with them at the bottom of the steps. Well, anyway, we all went inside, and Dennis asked for a glass of milk, and I ordered a lemon phosphate.
At the Streets of Paris?
They sent out for it. Anyway, as we were sitting there with the girls, chatting and laughing, a couple of great big guys walked over to us, and one of them said, what are you two punks doing with our girls? So Dennis jumped up and said, you want to make something out of it?
Yeah.
You little rascal. And the next thing I knew, I was laying out on Mason Street. It could happen to anybody. Say, whatever became of you that night, Dennis?
Oh, the boys got a girl for me, and we all went out.
Oh, good, good, good. Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, fellas. Were you worried about me?
Were you worried about me? There's the only marcelled ham I ever saw. Well, Phil, here we are in San Francisco. The old town's as peppy as ever, isn't it?
Yes, sir, and I'm sure getting a kick out of broadcasting for the soldiers here at the Presidio.
That's Presidio. Presidio.
All right, how far did I miss it?
That's right, for you, that's a bullseye. By the way, Phil, I'm doing a little checking up around here. Where are you stopping in town?
Well, I got a suite over at the Palace Hotel.
You got a what?
Well, here we go again.
You can sing that, sister. Listen, Harris, Harris, what's the idea of getting a suite?
Well, I got a lot of friends in town, and I need a place where I can...
I know, up where you can serve...
Hey, what's that?
pardon me, you wouldn't know. Tea, Phil, is a beverage that you can serve up in your room all afternoon, and no furniture will be broken. Catch on?
They took all the furniture out of my room, wise guy.
Oh, yeah, just a carpet and a bucket of ice. That's Harris.
Hey, fellas, you want to hear something? This is the town where I started out 15 years ago on my musical career. In the old Rose Room at the St. Francis Hotel.
At the Rose Room, huh?
Yeah, and the only guy that's still with me is Frank Remley, my guitar player.
No kidding. How come Frankie's been with you so long?
Look, Jackson, if I had on you what he's got on me, I'd be the star of the show.
Oh-ho, I always thought that guitar had a dictaphone in it. Well, let's have a band number, Phil, and show the boys here how you've improved in 15 years.
Okay, Jackson.
Wait a minute. Nobody's playing anything until I read my poem.
Mary, what is it? Every time you visit a camp, you have to write a poem.
That's right.
Well, you're not going to read one today. I forbid it.
Colonel Montanu said odd.
Oh, he did, eh? Listen, Mary, who's running this post? Me or the... Uh-oh, what am I saying? Gosh.
Boy, are you going to peel potatoes?
Well, Mary, if the colonel wants to hear your poem, I'm only too happy to oblige him. What's the title of it?
I like a soldier. Boy.
She means I like a soldier boy.
I know what I mean.
Okay. Okay, read your poem.
I love soldiers. They're so gay. And they're charming, I might say. So give me a soldier any day or any night if he can get away.
Hey, not bad. Continue.
I went dancing at the Y, and I saw a handsome guy. I dropped my hanky trimmed with lace. He picked it up and wiped his face.
You, You mean he passed you by?
He passed me by without a glance. So I spoke to him and took a chance. Say, buddy, would you like to dance? I'd love to, miss, but I ripped my shirt.
But you ripped it.
Yes.
Mary, that doesn't rhyme.
It rhymed at rehearsal.
Oh, yeah. That's a very good poem, Mary. Now, Phil, let's have a...
Oh, wait a minute. Last verse, all out.
Good.
If you listeners all could see these young men in front of me, you'd buy some bonds and buy some more and win the war with a great big score, the end.
Well, Mary, that last verse really made sense, and I'm sure everybody will dig down and get those defense bonds. And incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to announce that our program this evening is being short-waved by radio station KGEI to Alaska, Hawaii, Australia, New Zealand, to the United States Fleet in the Pacific, to the American Expeditionary Force in Java, to General MacArthur and his men, and I do mean men, in the Philippines, and also to the American volunteer flyers guarding the Burma Road. So go ahead with your number, Phil, and I don't have to tell you to play loud. You will anyway. Played by Phil Harris and his Golden Gate Orchestra. Golden meaning golden notes pour forth on their instruments, and gate meaning they may soon get same. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Well, that's a fine thing to say after what we went through to get up here.
What do you mean?
Well, me and the boys work at the Biltmore Bowl in Los Angeles. We worked there last night until 2 a.m., and then tired and weary, we got on a bus and started out for San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And 473 miles of tough driving across deserts and mountains. And then we went through rain and storm, little knowing what dangers lurked ahead of us.
Danger?
And when we arrived this morning hungry and thirsty and disheveled, our first thought was to rush over here and rehearse 3 hours for this broadcast.
Gee.
Can you imagine all that trouble just for one lousy number?
Yeah, don't seem right. Hungry, thirsty, and disheveled.
Well, that's loyalty for you.
Yeah, remind me, Phil, when we get back to Hollywood, I'll give the boys a bonus. They do look disheveled.
Those guys look disheveled every week.
Come to think of it, they're thirsty every week, too. Forget that bonus, Phil. And now, folks...
You mean to say you're really going to hand out a bonus?
Yes, I was going to hand out a bonus. What are you laughing at?
You wouldn't give a dog us a bonus.
Mary, one more crackus like that us, and a floor walker at the May Company will be your new straight man. I wish you'd go to Sausalito. All right, Don, I wish Mary would go to Sausalito.
Oh, Jack, this is the most ridiculous one yet.
Don, I wish Mary would go to Sausalito. It's a nice little town across the bay.
I know where it is, and I'm not going to do that silly commercial.
Don, I'm warning you, Sausalito.
Oh, very well. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you... No, I won't do it.
Don Sausalito.
Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you go to your neighborhood grocer, why don't you ask him for a package of Jell-O? Jell-O is economical. In fact, you never saw some marvelous value for Sausalita sum of money.
There you are. Now get this clever switch, folks. Don, if Mary doesn't feel like going to Sausalito, she can go to Berkeley.
This I won't do.
Don, Mary can go to Berkeley.
You can go to...
Don! Berkeley. Now go ahead.
Oh, I'm hooked, I guess. Try Jell-O, folks. You will enjoy every one of those delicious flavors. Straw Berkeley, Raz Berkeley, Cherry, Orange, Lemon, and Lime Berkeley.
Lime Berkeley, you ruined it. You ruined the cleverest commercial I ever wrote.
I can't understand it. I can't understand it.
You can't understand what?
All these men under arms, and you haven't been shot yet.
What are you talking about? It was a brilliant piece of writing, wasn't it, Phil?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jackson, I thought it was pretty corny.
Oh, you did, eh? What'd you think of it, Dennis?
Well, personally, I thought it was very...
Very what?
You'll slug me.
I will not. Hey, maybe you fellas didn't get the gag. Now look, Sausalito is a pun for such a little. So naturally, when Don said that... Wait a minute, I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
What do you want, Rochester?
Say, boss, I think you ought to check into a hotel tonight.
Why? What's the matter?
You know that old ferry boat we've been living on?
Yes.
Well, the tide came in and it went out.
What? Why, that's impossible. That boat was on dry land. It had roses growing around the door.
The barracuda's nibbled on now.
Well, I guess there's nothing we can do about it. I'll tell you what, Rochester. Bring my trunk and suitcases over here, and I'll go to a hotel tonight.
Uh-oh.
What are you all-owing about? Don't tell me you left my trunk and everything in the boat.
Don't tell me I didn't.
What do you mean?
Well, boss, at the time of the unexpected launching...
Yes?
Due to no women and children, I got off first.
Imagine leaving my trunk and all my stuff on the boat. I bet you even left my washing hanging up on the mat.
Yeah, you ought to see it, boss. The vision of sheer beauty.
The heck with the beauty. I want my clothes. Now, let's see. There's no rowboat around there. I got it. Rochester, can you swim?
What's that, boss?
I said, can you swim?
No, sir.
You can, too.
Not with a trunk on my back. I can read your mind.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rochester, I'll be through here pretty soon. Then when we can rent a motorboat and go out and get it.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
After we get all straightened out, can I have the night off?
Why, where are you going?
Well, I got some friends in Oakland and they invited me over for tea.
Tea?
Yeah, only we're going to break up the furniture.
I thought so. Well, all right, if we get through early enough. So long.
So long, boss.
Can you imagine anything like that?
What's the matter, Mr. Benny?
You know that ferry boat you and I were living on?
Yeah?
Well, your blue third suit will be passing the Bay Bridge any minute now. Play, Bill.
From February of 1942, it's been the Jack Benny program from the Presidio in San Francisco. When we return, it's Crime Does Not Pay with Death on the Doorstep. As this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Crime Does Not Pay was a syndicated show produced by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Based on the famous short films of the same title and first heard on WMGM New York in October of 1949, the show told of perpetrators of crime, often innocent kids who just got in too deep. It ran through 1951 as a WMGM show and then picked up by Mutual in January of 1952, ending in December of that same year. Ira Marion wrote the scripts, and Max Loeb directed. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear, to February of 1950, and Crime Does Not Pay with Death on the Doorstep, another classic moment from the golden age of radio on Yesteryear.
Crime Does Not Pay.
Sure, I like you a lot, Happy. I like the way you laugh all the time, too.
Yeah? I like to laugh. I have fun. Lots of it.
I don't think your kind of fun is nice fun, though, Happy.
What gave you that idea, baby?
It's your eyes, Happy. You don't laugh in your eyes.
You'll get used to me, baby. You'll have to. On account of you saw me in Cottonmouth with the rifle, see?
It was for hunting.
Sure it was for hunting, sugar. You don't think that jerk across the street just dropped dead, do you? From lead poisoning, maybe?
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear Death on the Doorstep, starring Donald Curtis. The workings of organized crime are far more complicated than most people realize. Not only is the nation divided into districts, each with its own administration, but the large cities are split up that way as well. And any boss in any district may request help, at a price, of course, from any other boss, to settle his present difficulties. That's how it happened that Happy Dick Davis, specialist in executions, went south for the winter. Happy took the train. He felt flying was too risky for himself. And in due course, he was met at the station and driven to the local headquarters.
Here he is, boss. Happy Dick Davis himself. In person.
As ordered, boss. As ordered.
Glad to see you, Happy. Sit down. Smoke?
Don't mind if I do.
Stop talking, Happy. How do you operate?
Depend.
On what?
Situation. If I can get in close, I like to use a piece of sash cord. The distance, I like a rifle with a telescopic sight.
Kind of noisy, a rifle.
Not with a silencer, it ain't.
I told you, boss. What a man.
Thanks.
What's your plan for here?
Who's the character you want?
Name C.D. Stone. Stooley.
Stooley's die slow up north.
No, we got no time. This bummer's talked one of our best men into a 10-year rap. Federal, too. He's got to go. And quick.
Who's the finger man?
Cottonmouth here. He'll show you.
Okay. Your pal C.D. handy?
Cotton?
I know where to find him.
Okay. Let's ride. One thing, though.
Yeah?
Why'd you send for me?
Not that it's any of your business, but we wanted somebody from out of town. All my trigger boys are shacked up with perfect alibis this minute. They're staying that way until the job is done.
Telephone them, boss. Tell them they can come out of the woodwork tonight. Not much of a town you got here, Cottonmouth.
We do all right. 40,000 folks. 13 schools, 4 movies, 2 libraries, and 87 churches.
What for all them churches?
Nothing else to do Sundays, is all.
What do you do for fun?
We'll show you when the job's done.
It ain't gonna get done walking the streets like this.
C.D. hangs down a couple of these pool rooms. He'll be all along soon.
Oh. Why do they call you Cottonmouth?
Cottonmouth is the snake with the most poison in the swamps around here. Figure it for yourself.
I get it. Look, if I'm supposed to do this job alone, are you going to tag along after we find this jerk?
Yep.
What for?
Boss's orders.
Why?
He says you laugh too much.
You guys don't trust nobody, do you?
Nope. Especially strangers.
Uh-huh. What about your alibi?
Airtight. She'll swear on a stack I was with her. sure wish it was true.
Tomorrow night. That's a promise.
Thanks, pal. You know, one of these days I'm going to marry that dame. Hey, look at that.
Huh?
Seedy.
Which one?
In the cap. Casing the movie.
I see. Kind of scrawny. Shouldn't be no trouble.
Oh, he's going inside. Imagine he's going to the movies.
Come on.
Hey, you going after him in there?
Yeah, I want to blow this dump. All them churches must have funeral parlors attached.
But the joint will be packed. They got a western.
All the better. I'll get him with the rope and we'll get out before anybody knows nothing. After they find him, it'll be a mob scene. Nobody will remember nothing.
Brother, you sure know your business.
Yep, that's why the price is high.
How many did you wish, please?
Two, baby. You for me and a friend of yours for a friend of mine.
I meant tickets, big boy.
So did I, till I caught the looks in your lamps, kid.
Say, you must be from out of town.
How'd you guess?
Hey, if we're going in, Happy, we better get
my going. Friend here is afraid he missed the shooting.
Here you are. 70 cents, please. Thank you, sir.
Don't mention it. 70 cents for two. Cheap down here. Come on, Carmen. Did you see your pal, Seedy? Looking at the cheesecake and the pictures in the lobby here? He just went in this minute. Come on. Two tickets, right here.
There he is. Turn down the aisle. Hey, that's a break. He's sitting on the aisle in the last row.
Is it?
How can I reach him with the rope? Why do they build these walls back in the last row? It keeps out drafts, I guess. What do we do, Happy? Wait till he comes out?
No. I want to get this job over with.
Hey, that ought to do it.
What ought to do it?
A fire axe. There on the wall. Hold everything. Hey, Happy, don't try it. Nice heft to this. One clunk and boom. Happy. Happy, if you miss.
I ain't gonna miss.
Now watch this. This is gonna be a cinch. Happy, look out. He's getting up.
Oh, for the love of Mike.
The dope must have seen another seat down front.
Yeah, of course. All my life I wanted to do a job with a fire axe, and now the jerk has to be a movie house seat jumper.
Oh, you didn't get him. This time.
Right. First time I ever had anything like that happen to me. This job must be a hoodoo.
Could happen to anybody, Hap. You work out of this world. Or you don't miss a trick.
But I'll miss my train if I keep shooting the breeze.
Train? What train, my friend?
Next train, north. Sorry, boss.
I paid good money for this job.
You'll get a refund. My outfit guarantees delivery or your money back.
I told you I wanted this thing taken care of now. Seedy's got to be put away.
Not by me.
By you.
Any ideas on how?
I have. Oh, never mind your newfangled ideas. Cottonmouth will get you a car. You can park in front of Seedy's room in the house and let him have it first thing in the morning. If you haven't got a piece, I'll give you one.
Uh-uh. No cowboy jobs for me. Too many things can happen.
Cowboy jobs?
Yeah. Fire away, car and gear, take the corner on two wheels. High-o, silver. Uh-uh. Not me. No cowboy jobs. That's out.
You got a better idea, son?
Sure I have. What's across the street from Seedy's place?
Another room and house? What else?
Good enough. If we can't get a front room, we'll use the roof. You see, pals, my favorite piece of luggage for a trip like this is the sweetest Springfield 3030 you ever saw, complete with telescopic sight and silencer.
Mr. Davis.
Why, you kid?
My name's Selma. I told you that, Mr. Davis.
Yeah, and mine's Happy. I told you that.
I know.
And why don't you use it, baby? Stop being so formal.
My mom always told me to call a man friend, mister. It's more polite.
Didn't your mother ever tell you about coming into a fella's room by yourself and closing the door?
Ma tells me about that every day. But you're not just a rumor, Happy. You're from New York.
Come here, baby. How old are you, Selma, baby?
21. Why?
Well, because, kid, it's a rule up where I come from that you always ask the landlady's daughter her age before you kiss her. Like this.
Oh, Happy. I'm so happy.
That's me, kid. Happy makes them happy, coast to coast. You know, kid, this is about the best layout I ever volunteered for.
Volunteered for?
Didn't I tell you? The firm I work for always gives us salesmen a chance to volunteer for a tough territory to show how good we are. We make good, we get a bonus. I usually volunteer, and sister, you ought to see my bank account.
Well, if you're a salesman, why do you stay here all day and play with that rifle?
Just waiting for my customers. And thought maybe I'd get a little hunting in.
Oh, it's late for the season now.
I like to case the, explore the territory, that is. Give us another kiss, baby.
Ma says I should always watch my step.
Oh, she does, huh?
What's that funny thing on the end of your rifle?
Oh, that's a recoil absorber, like they had on big tank guns during the war. Saves my shoulder from the recoil.
That must be a mighty powerful rifle, Happy. Say nothing hereabouts, but rabbits may be a gift.
Oh, beg your pardon, miss.
Oh, that's perfectly all right.
How are you, Mr. Jackson? Happy to see you so soon. Selma, this is the customer I was telling you about.
Oh, well, excuse me. Ma will be wondering anyhow. Happy to know you, Mr. Jackson.
Same here, miss. Who's the dame?
Landlady's daughter. Well, what's cooking?
He'll be out in a minute. I was up on his landing. Heard him tell his wife he needed cigarettes, so I came right over.
Great. Now, the windowsill makes a perfect rest for the rifle.
Where do you want me, Happy?
On my left, behind. Where you can see, but you won't get in my way.
Okay, here.
Okay. Perfect. The telescope puts that doorway right in this room. That him?
No, no. Not yet. That's him, Happy.
That's his last cigarette he's lighting. Like the top sergeant says, squeeze the trigger.
Out of this world, Happy. Beautiful. Boy, ain't a silent or something?
Yep. Clean. Right between the eyes. Come on, Cottonmouth. Let's blow. The back way. This neighborhood ain't going to be healthy for us in about 10 minutes.
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with Death on the Doorstep.
Listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now we continue with Crime Does Not Pay, starring Donald Curtis as Happy Dick Davis in Death on the Doorstep. A man quietly and silently dead in a doorway attracts much less attention than one would believe. Happy Davis knew this and took full advantage of it. Thus, Happy and Cottonmouth were safely and gaily celebrating their achievement in the Big Shot's quarters by the time the first sirens announced the arrival of the police at the scene of the crime. And it was almost 3/4 of an hour after Seedy's death that Sergeant Taylor of the local homicide squad straightened up from bending over
come
the body
now,
and
get
said...
Back, Dick. Come on, get back.
All right, Hall. Guess we've done about everything we can at this point.
Looks like it, Sergeant.
Simpson?
Yes, sir?
You got good clean prints from the body?
Yes, sir, but there's no doubt of it. He's Seedy Stone, all right. Another stoolie they caught up with.
There are plenty more where Seedy came from, but we can't let him get away with this. He'll feel too free with the others, so we got work to do.
No weapons around here. I got the boys checking sewer gratings up and down the street.
Sure, a neat job. One hole right between the eyes.
I wonder now. From the way he fell, he was facing the street.
Usual finger job. He came out of the house, stopped on the doorstep. He was pointed out. They let him have it. Off they go. Any stolen cars been reported since yesterday?
Anybody around here noticed a car or hear a shot?
Checked. Not even a backfire.
Look at the position of the wound. above the bridge of the nose.
Yeah.
Now, how'd they hit him there? If they fired from street level, while he was standing here, four steps up.
Maybe from the side.
No, no, not a chance. Directly from in front.
So, they walk up to him first.
No, no. Give me a hand here. Lift him up.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Now, face him out toward the street.
Yeah. This way?
Yeah. Now, you see what I mean? The angle was down. He was shot from above.
Mm-hmm. Airplanes now?
Okay, put them down. Let the meat wagon have
it.
I think we're going visiting across the street. See what I mean, Hall? Vacancy. Somebody's moved out.
Yes, sir.
Your sign says vacancy.
Yes, sir.
You the landlady?
No, sir. My mother is. She's out.
Can we see the room?
Well, it's just a double.
Only two of us need it, miss. My friend Simpson here has a place to stay.
All right. You can come in. It's the third floor front.
Third floor front. Has room been vacant long?
No, sir. Just about an hour. Not even cleaned up yet.
Hey, what a break.
Oh, that won't bother us. You notice the excitement across the street, miss?
No, I didn't. About those mad the fellas had the room. They left a week's rent on the bureau and beat it. Didn't even say goodbye. Anything happened?
Yeah. Somebody got shot right across the street.
What? Of all things. Person's life isn't safe anywhere these days.
Oh, this person knew he was taking chances.
This is the room.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Want to look it over, fellas?
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Not a bad view. Front room and everything. You see, miss?
What?
They're taking the body away now.
It's too bad the room was left. They'd have seen everything.
Yes, wouldn't they? Not very neat, were they? Cigarette butts on the floor and all.
Sergeant, found this right near the window.
Looks like we picked the right place.
What? That's a bullet.
No, it's a shell, miss.
Happy had a rifle here with a funny thing on the end. He said it was a shock absorber or something.
Silence,
yeah. Yeah, it must have been.
You don't want to rent this room. You're cops.
Yes, miss. Sergeant Taylor, homicide. It's Detective Hall, Detective Simpson.
How do you do, miss?
Apparently, the man who was killed across the street was shot from up here.
Oh, no.
Did you know this Happy well?
Well enough.
Local fella?
Well, his friend, Mr. Jackson, sounded like he came around here, but Happy, he came from New York. He told me.
Well, look, miss, I have an idea. You don't have to play along if you don't want to, but I have a hunch you'll be interested. Now, you listen closely.
Know how neat it was, boss, unless you've seen it yourself. CD stops on the stoop, see? Lights a cigarette. That's all. Wrap it between the eyes.
Sure you got away clean?
Clean as a whistle.
Good. Back perfect. I got a little something for you, Happy. Sort of a bonus.
Oh.
A G-note for yourself.
Hey, that's all right. Some jobs are worth volunteering for.
You gonna take the night train, Happy?
Well, you might as well. I'll let your boss know what a great job you did.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll stick around a few days.
Hey, it's the dame, boss.
What dame?
The landlady's daughter.
That sort of thing ain't safe, Happy. Dames is poison, south or north.
That babe don't know from nothing. Except that a fellow from New York is different. Well, he talks different, anyhow.
Well, so can she.
Don't worry, boss. Say, can I use the phone?
Well, you're on your own now. Go on, help yourself.
Thanks. can't get used to dialing only four numbers. New York, we got seven.
Hello?
Hi, Selma.
Oh, it's you.
Surprise, baby.
You walked out awful quick, Happy.
I come into some money awful quick. How's about helping me get rid of it tonight?
You mean dancing, maybe?
Nothing else but. Pick you up, say, 8 o'clock?
8? All right, honey, I'll be ready and waiting. Bye.
See you later, kid. See what I mean, fellas? Talk different, and a dame is a lead pipe cinch.
This sure is a smooth car, Happy.
So big. I saw one like it in a movie.
Yeah, Hollywood's full of them.
Why are you stopping, Happy?
I gotta park. According to the rules, when you're out with a cute trick like you, you gotta park.
Oh, Happy, you're so funny sometimes.
Only sometimes?
Most of the time.
Sure is quiet out here. Not like the big town. Want to go to New York, Selma?
Me? New York? Who wouldn't?
Want to go with me?
So you can walk out on me like you did this morning?
I came back for you, didn't I?
Uh-huh. But next time, maybe you wouldn't come back.
What's the matter, baby? Don't you like me?
Oh, sure. Sure, I like you a lot, Happy. I like the way you laugh all the time, too.
So, I like to laugh. I have fun. Lots of it.
I don't think your kind of fun is nice fun, Happy.
I'll give you that idea, baby.
It's your eyes, Happy. You don't laugh in your eyes.
You'll get used to me, baby. Sure you will. You'll have to. On account of you saw me in Cottonmouth with a rifle, see?
But you said it was for hunting.
Sure it was for hunting, sugar. You don't think that jerk across the street just dropped dead, do you? From lead poisoning, maybe?
But I don't understand, Happy. Honest, I don't.
I'll draw you a diagram, kid. You got two choices, see? You can come with me and have fun, or you can stay here, permanent.
I could have maybe have just a little time.
Sure. Take all the time you want until tomorrow night. I'm going north on the night train. So you figure all you want and have your bag packed when I come for you.
What happened?
That's the picture, kid. And it don't need no frame around it.
Just a minute. Happy. You did come back.
Told you I would, baby. Ready for the big town, sugar?
Well, I'll come on in the parlor, will you, Happy?
Okay, kid. Let me make it snappy. We got 40 minutes to the train. You ought to be darn glad you're getting away from the rubber plants and the doilies, sister.
Happy, I just don't know. That is, I'm not going with you.
You nuts or something?
I'm staying here.
That's the way you want it, huh?
Well, I can't leave my mother alone. Happy!
What's the matter, baby? It's only a piece of sash cord.
I know.
You want to stay here? Okay, you stay. This bird's dead as a doornail anyway. You might as well stay here dead as alive.
That goes for you too, Happy. Hang him, man.
Wait. Hey, take your hands off me.
Hold up. You ain't got nothing on me.
Stand back.
Shut up. You heard him, Davis. And you'll hear plenty before we're through.
I want a mouthpiece. You can't hold me.
Oh, can't we? I think we can.
What charge, Flatfoot? What charge?
Keep a civil tongue in your head. You're charged with plenty. Murder of Seedy Stone, the attempted murder of this girl here.
You can't prove a thing.
We can prove the works, Davis. Cottonmouth is singing his head off. We traced $1,000 bill you changed at the hotel this morning straight to the boss, and he's locked up, too. We got your prints and Cottonmouth from the room upstairs. We picked up your luggage from the check room at the station, your rifle included, complete with fingerprints. We got the shell you fired and the bullet. Can't prove anything, Davis. We got enough to fry you twice. But once will be quite enough. It usually is, in my experience.
Now, here in person is Donald Curtis.
It's apparent to my way of thinking, and as we have just demonstrated, that even the cool, calculating killers like Happy Davis are always caught in the long run.
But that run doesn't have to be long. It can be cut very short by courage and clear thinking of everyday citizens. Once they realize that organized crime feeds only on the indolence and carelessness of people like you and me. Think that through, and you'll understand that in our hands rests the final proof that crime does not pay.
Thank you, Donald Curtis. Crime Does Not Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Mark D. Lowe, with music composed and conducted by John Gart. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkus. The events, characters, and names used in the story you've just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental.
From February of 1950, it's been Crime Does Not Pay with Death on the Doorstep. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week and, in fact, invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. So, till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you so.
SSRDB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.
Like a chasm, You've no enthusiasm. You're tired and uninspired. You're blasé. Your day is one of leisure, in which you search for pleasure. You're bored when you're adored. You're blasé. While reaching for the moon and the stars up in the sky, the simple things of normal life are slowly passing by. You sleep, the sun is shining. You wake, it's time for dining. There's nothing new for you to do. You're blasé.
Favorite artists from the big band era are here.
This is K-Star. You're going to hear the sounds of the big bands, and that's where the dancing came in.
It's Swing Street Radio.